Okay, we're going to have Prabhupada lead the Nisshina prayers.
Being honored with the Prabhupada's best, mentally.
So, Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paramahacharya, also Tera Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace of Ayachananada Bhaktivananda Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Vijaya, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai, Prince Gohoshmi Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sivaya Gadadha Shivasati Gohra Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopagadat Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Gopagadat Vrindavan Kijai, Matura Kijai, Jagadasami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Smadikalasa Kijai, Samavi Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaur Primananda Kijai, all glories to the Sama devotees, all glories to the Sama devotees, all glories to the Sama devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gaur Ranga Shadapopa Kijai. Namaste Saraswati Devi Govardhani Pacharni Nivishesha Srinivadi Prasvacha Jeeja Tari Shubhopat Kijai Omagana Timidanda Shaganajana Shmakira Chapsu Nidhikam Yena Tasmai Shivale Namaha. So today we are going to speak about Lord Sringadev, the half-man, half-mind incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Today, of course, it is Lord Sringadev's appearance, glorious appearance. He appeared, as we all know, at dusk, and we'll tell that story a little later. So, first of all, we just heard Prabhupada chant the prayers to Lord Sringadev. Now, one may question why Srila Prabhupada had us chant these prayers. It's not as common in Gaudiya Vaishnavism as you would think. I mean, usually if you go to South India, Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu, they have more deities of Lord Nrsingadev. Of course, the Hobalam, which is supposed to be where Lord Nrsingadev appeared. And then you have Mangalgiri, Sinachalam, and so many appearance places or places of Lord Nrsingadev in South India. So, Prabhupada explained that we worship Lord Nrsingadev for several different reasons. One is the protection for the devotees. And especially Prabhupada had us chant Lord Nrsingadev's mantras for the protection of him, Srila Prabhupada. And then also, the protection of the Krishna consciousness movement. That's very important because we are fighting not exactly demons, because in Kali Yuga, demons and devotees are basically in the same body. So all of us have a little or a big demon inside, and all of us have a little devotee inside. Not saying big devotee, little devotee inside. So it's sort of mixed. So we chant for the protection against the demons. And that gives us the real reason, the most important reason we chant in order to see Nrsingadev's mantras. And the reason is to cleanse our hearts. Because our hearts are full of dirty things, what we call anarthas. Anartha means unwanted things, like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, etc. Now, if we look at the history of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that is his biography, we will find that that's one of the first things his father gave him was the Nrsinga Mantra. He gave him two different types of worship when he was young. Nrsinga Mantra and worship of Kurmadev. Kurmadev, of course, is the tortoise incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why would he give him those particular personalities of Godhead to worship? Well, Nrsimha, obviously, to get rid of the dirty things in the heart, and Kermadev, because Kermadev is the presiding deity for the nectarian ocean of devotional service. Ras. Now, ras, the taste for the devotional service. So these are very important deities. And of course, the Nrsimhadev prayers come to us by the grace of Jayadev Goswami. So many of you may be thinking, why do we chant the Lord Nrsimhadev? Because, apart from the reasons I gave, why do we worship Lord Nrsimhadev? Because we are supposed to be devotees of Radha and Krishna, right? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we were Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We don't come from South India, or some of you come from Bihar. It's a little bit different. But still, you know, Bihar, of course, is Lord Ram. Sitaram, Sitaram, Raghupati, Raghava, Raja Rama. And in Bengal, it's Radha and Krishna, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're Bengali Vaishnavas. And even if you go to Vrindavan, to Govardhan, you will say that most of the worship being done is done by Bengalis, which is really interesting. The Brajavasis, they're great devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Brajavasis are just in a very friendly relationship with Krishna. So they don't have to do puja. Prabhupada said the Brajavasis are have Krishna as their guru. So even though they may act in ways that we don't understand, anyone who's been to Vrindavan will understand what I'm talking about, then we should see that they're all eternally liberated devotees, as well as all the monkeys and everything like that. I mean, they're all great souls. So, but the Bengalis, they come to worship Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Practically speaking, the whole Radha Kunda is controlled by Bengalis, not by the Brajavasis. Interesting. So, well, the reason we worship Lord Nrsimhadev, we worship Kurma, we worship Varaha, we worship Lord Ram, is because we are devotees of Radha and Krishna. Because Radha and Krishna, they expand as these various personalities. Like you have Lakshmi Nrsimha, and Lakshmi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. Well, Srimati Radharani expands, first of all, as the principal gopis, then as the wives of Krishna in Dwarka, and then as the Lakshmis in the spiritual world. So, Keshava Drita Nada Hari Rupa. What does that mean? Krishna, you are appearing as half man, half lion. Keshava Drita Shukara Rupa. You are appearing as the boar incarnation. Keshava Drita Rama Shariva. You are appearing as Lord Ram. So sahajas say, oh, we only worship Radha and Krishna. But devotees of Radha and Krishna, real devotees of Radha and Krishna, they worship everything Krishna does. Because it's like saying to someone, I love you, but not outside of the house. As soon as you leave the house, I'm not interested in you. It's like, you know, let's say someone's married, and the wife loves the husband. As soon as the husband goes to work, she's not interested. She's not interested that he plays soccer or whatever he does. She's interested. She loves him. Everything he does is relishable for a good wife. Hope none of you ladies to get upset. Whether he does business or whatever, it's actually relishable if you love someone. Right? Just like Prabhupada. When we hear about Prabhupada's preaching, it's relishable. We hear about Prabhupada getting a massage, it's relishable. We hear about Prabhupada. I mean, just like when I was standing behind Prabhupada when he was chanting, I would just watch the cartels, and that was relishable. Just like watching Prabhupada chant, it was like, it was like watching the greatest dance performance, basically. It was all choreographed, as they say. It was simply wonderful. Everything about Prabhupada. Just like you have that poem written about Krishna by Vallabhacharya. Madhura, Madhuram. You know that song? Everything about Krishna is sweet. So when Krishna decides Keshava Dvija Narahari Rupa, become half man, half lion, that's sweet. And the devotees see, that's Krishna doing it. You understand? You're a devotee of Radha Krishna. You see, oh, Krishna's really cool. He's now taking the form of half man, half lion. So, anyway, so there's a little background so we don't think that, oh, this is not so important, this Nishimadeja Thirasthe, because everything Krishna does is important. So, let's get to the story of Lord Nrisimhadeva. So the story of Lord Nrisimhadeva is told in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, why is the story told in the seventh canto? I mean, what is the background for that story? The background of the story is that Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadeva Goswami. He's very surprised that Krishna seems to always be taking the side of the demigods against the demons. You know, because he's, you know, just finished with the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, as it comes in 4-7. And why does God act unequally? Because as we hear in the Bhagavad Gita, with the Samoham, Sarvadvaitasu, Namekleshu Stinapriya, Sarvadvaitasu, Namekleshu Stinapriya. He says, I don't have any enemies, I don't have any friends, I'm equal. We in this world are not equal. Because if someone is our friend, we approach them in a certain way, and someone who's not, we approach them in another way. Just like politics. Like if you want to get anything done with the government, you give a donation to the government. Isn't that natural? Donation. Anyway, you don't make any spiritual advancement though. So, I mean, in the United States it's like that too. So, because we're not equal to everybody. You know, we have devoting friends, even as Madhyamanakaris, we're not supposed to be equal. We have people we avoid, only Anuttamanakari is supposed to be equal. We avoid the envious, we make friends with the devotees, we preach to the innocent, we worship the spirit. You know, it's definitely not equal. Of course, we are supposed to see Vijavidya Sambhani, Brahmani Gavidya Shuni Jaiva, Swabhake Japa, Nidasa, Madarshana. We're supposed to see all the main entities equally. But Krishna is not supposed to take sides in the fight between the battle of the demons and the devotees, or demigods. So the question is raised. So in this particular, what we call context, the story of Lord Nrisimhadeva, the story of Prahlad Maharaj is told. Actually, it's the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Because Krishna likes his devotees' praise more than anything else. So we find in many other religious literatures that God is depicted as very jealous, right? I remember the religion I was brought up, God, even it stated, I'm a very jealous God. You know, even, you know, very jealous. Because jealousy means that someone has something that you don't have. Whereas Krishna has everything. He doesn't need anything. Whatever he does for the demons, devotees, is for their benefit. Not for his own sake. Because Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrahma Sevyamanam Govindamani Purusham Tamaham Vashami. you know, Krishna has all these lakshmis there. What are you going to cook for him? You're going to cook some chapatis that don't even puff up. Who wants to do this? Right? I look at the rotis and I think, what's happening? We used to have better rotis for Krishna. So then, as far as the Bhagavatam is concerned, we have Shukadeva Goswami referring the question to Yudhisthira Maharaj, because Yudhisthira Maharaj is the whole conversation there. So the Bhagavatam, the story is within a story. And Yudhisthira is asking Narada, why Shishupal and Dandaprakra obtain liberation? And then Narada Muni answers, talking about that there's two types of absorption in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and two types of criticism. One can criticize the Lord out of love, that's the gopis. They criticize Krishna. Not only do they criticize Krishna, they get angry with Krishna, they threaten Krishna with sticks. But that's out of love. Don't try that at home. And the other type is those who criticize unfavorably, but both are absorbed. And it turns out that absorption of those who are criticizing, in one sense, is stronger than those who are not criticizing. Isn't it? When you're angry with someone, you probably think of them more than you would ordinarily. You know, if you love someone, okay, I love you, okay. But anger just eats away at you. You think of the person 24 hours a day. Right? But even that anger or demoniac attitude has two aspects according to Narada Muni. Conversation Narada Muni and Pariksha. Not Pariksha, Narada Muni and Yudhisthira. So one is when it actually helps one spiritually, you know, a negative thing helps one spiritually, like in the case of Shishupal, that was helping him spiritually. He got liberated. But there's demons who don't meditate on Krishna. And the example given is Vena. You know the story of Vena? Vena, he was actually a pretty bad guy. He was a demon. But he wasn't thinking of Krishna all the time. So you got demons who are bad and demons who are very bad. The very bad demons don't think of Krishna. And the good demons, they think of Krishna in an inimical way. And of course, this demoniac mentality where the demons think of Krishna in an inimical way, they think of Krishna, they have their bad karma destroyed. Whereas Vena did not have his bad karma destroyed because his absorption was not in the form of the Lord. He wasn't thinking of Krishna. He was just demon. So in other words, yayatamam pachantetam sadaiva pajami. It really depends, even if you're a demon, what type of demon you are, how you reciprocate with the Lord. So if you're going to be a demon like Aranyakashipu, Shishupal, who committed 100 offenses, I mean, that's a pretty good demon. You have to think of 100 bad things to say about Krishna. I mean, I couldn't do that. I can't even think of 100 bad things to say about anybody, but to speak of Krishna. So that means he was expert to me, Shishupal, and of course, Dandavakra. So all the bad karma becomes destroyed. And of course, you see in the case of Putana, that Putana was completely absorbed in Krishna, and even she had a maternal affection from her previous life. She was your friend. Balu Maharaj's sister, anyway, it's a whole story about that. And Kupcha also. Kupcha was completely angry with Lord Ram, right? Because Lord Ram had just like denied her love and did a little erectomy on her, a nosectomy. It's a medical term, cut the nose over here. So, anyway, so with that background, so it's a, that background, in one sense, the story gets started being told. And the, just one other final point, is that Narada Muni is comparing the absorption that demons have with Raghunuga Bhakti in the Bhagavatamas stories. You should read the Seventh Canto, it's quite interesting. What Raghunuga Bhakti means, spontaneous devotional service. Right now, we are on the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti. Because we are always forgetting Krishna. Even when we're chanting our rounds, we're forgetting Krishna. Our mind is thinking of something else. Even during Mangal Arati, we're forgetting Krishna. We're dancing for Krishna, and we're forgetting Krishna. Practically, there's no time during the day when we remember Krishna. Except maybe, hopefully, Bhagavatam class. We're sleeping during the Bhagavatam class. There's basically no time. I mean, if you think about it, you know, take 24 hours a day, how many of those minutes or seconds were you actually thinking of Krishna? And how many of those minutes or seconds, even when you were doing your sadhana bhakti, were you actually just doing it on automatic and thinking of something else? When you're taking prasadam, are you honoring prasadam? Or are you eating prasadam? Tell me. Are you serving your tongue or are you serving Krishna in the name of prasadam? So, but the demons, it's Raghunuga. Spontaneous. Nobody has to tell them. They have to, don't have to practice being demons. It's not that Ravana is practicing. Okay, hate Krishna, hate Krishna, 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 hate, hate. Hate, hate Rama, hate Rama, 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 hate. Right? Do you find Ravana practicing? No, it's just like, it came to him naturally. Spontaneous devotee. Anyway, so. So anyway, let's get on with the story, because this is the background why the story is being told. So, of course, there's a discussion about the background of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha is very important to understand, too, if one wants to understand Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyaksha is the brother of Hiranyakashipu, younger brother. So, anyway, so there's the birth. I'm not going to tell this whole story, but you know, I could relate a little bit to the story. So you have the Kashyapa and Diti, his wife. So Diti became very lusty at one particular point, and she sort of lured Kashyapa Muni to have a relationship at an improper time. And Kashyapa Muni gave in, and as a result, there was the birth of these two demons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were previously Jayanvijay. And then the story is also told here about how Jayanvijay were cursed by the four Kumaras come down to the earth planet, and they were given the option, you know, seven births as devotees or three births as demons. And of course, that's Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Shishupal, and Dantavakra. And some people say Jagai and Madai too. And then they went back to God. Of course, that they became devotees of Jagai and Madai. So what happened is that the Lord appeared as boar incarnation, and as a boar incarnation, he fought with Hiranyaksha. means gold eye. Just a good translation. Aksha means eyes and Aranya means gold. Just like sometimes people even have the name Aranya, right? It means they're usually it's from a family of gold merchants, traditionally. You know, and originally in India and everywhere around the world, people's family name came from their occupation, Aranya. So I know when the people from India moved to the United States, they changed their name to Gold, Mr. Gold. So Hiranyaksha was killed by the Lord Varaha, and this was his sport. That's another point, is that when Krishna fights the demons personally, he's enjoying. He comes down to enjoy, because Krishna could kill demons without fighting personally by simply wishing them to be dead. Krishna's aptakama. Aptakama means whatever he wants, he gets immediately just by desiring it. So there's no need for him to come down. So he's enjoying like anything. The indirect rasas, anger, ghastliness. Hiranyakashipu got angrier because of this, and he started to say bad things about Krishna. And this is the whole point. He says, you have given up, Krishna, you have given up equality due to being in Maya. So he's accusing God of being in Maya. And I am going to kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but first, I'm going to kill all the demigods by destroying the sacrifices. So he destroys all the sacrifices. But he also preaches. He's a Vedic demon. And what does that mean? Many devotees use this term Vedic. Let's be Vedic. They say to the wives, let's have a Vedic marriage. You listen to me and I'm the boss. Is that you, Vedic? People use this word without understanding what the Veda means. By all the Vedas, Vedeshtas, Savera, Ameva Vedas, Krishna says, to know Krishna. So, but he's Vedic in the sense that he preaches to Hiranyaksha's wives and relatives, and his own relatives. Because, you know, the whole family goes to the funeral. I'm sure you've gone to funerals before. You got to read the Bhagavad Gita, right? So he reads the Bhagavad Gita. Not the Bhagavad Gita, but he tells the wives of Hiranyaksha and all the lamenting relatives about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And he tells a very Krishna conscious story. He tells a story about a young boy. Yamaraj appears as a young boy and he preaches to someone who is lamenting at a funeral. So he's even Krishna conscious in a certain way. He tells the story of what's called the Kalinga bird. Some of you may have heard this story before. That the Kalinga bird goes out and his wife and family get taken by a hunter. And so the Kalinga bird, he comes back, he laments, and he falls into the same trap. So the point, falls into the hunter's trap. So the point is that, yes, we can lament at a funeral, but if we get someone's phone. So if we forget our Krishna consciousness, then we fall into the same trap. And we also get taken by the snare of Maya. So, So then, after preaching to his relatives around Yukashipu, with his whole plan to become immortal, he actually wants Lord Brahma's post. And the story is he goes to the Mount Mandara, steps on his tiptoes, and he performs his great austerities. And so great are his austerities, even though his flesh and everything is being eaten away, and he's just living in the bones of his body, that fire starts to come from his hair. His head, no hair anymore. Because he obviously has no flesh and no hair. And Lord Brahma comes down because the demigods are complaining about this fire that's really creating problems in the universe. And Lord Brahma comes down, and the first thing Lord Brahma does is he pours water from his kamandalu on Hiranyakashipu's bones, and Hiranyakashipu comes back to life, you know, stronger than ever, handsome as anything. And Hiranyakashipu asks for immortality, and we know Lord Brahma says, "You can't give you immortality, but you can ask for, you can predict the way you're going to die. That you can do." So he says, as we know, "I don't want to die inside or outside, or man, or beast, or weapon, or demigod, or day, or night." He thinks he has all of his bases covered. And there's a very interesting story told in the Mahabharata about other demons who had similar plans. There's demons named Sunda and Upasunda. Sunda and Upasunda were two big demons, and they had also gotten benedictions. They were brothers, very close brothers. They loved each other, and they had gotten benedictions that from Lord Brahma. They wouldn't die unless they killed each other. And they thought, "We will never kill each other." But Lord Brahma had another plan. He called for Vishvakarma, and he said, "Vishvakarma, I want you to create for me the most beautiful girl." And so he took the parts, different parts, the proper nose, proper ears, put them all together. And this girl named Tilotama was born. Tilotama means like sesame, best sesame girl. We got time. I'm going to read the DVDs for a while. So she was born, and she circumambulated the demigods. She was so attractive that even the demigods grew extra eyes just to see her. And so she went down to where Sunda and Upasunda were, and they were fighting over her because they were drunk, and they killed each other. So whatever benediction Lord Brahma gives or the demigods give predicts how you're going to die. Try to remember that. So that's why we don't worship the demigods. We worship Krishna. So, anyway, so at that point, Hiranyakashipu, getting back to the story, became so powerful that all the demigods began to serve him. Day and night, they were offering obeisances to him, serving him. Even Narada Muni, he was acting like he was the servant of Hiranyakashipu. Of course, during the time of the austerities, let's backtrack a little bit, the demigods, especially Indra, had taken Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadu, because they were afraid that Kayadu's son was going to be a bigger demon than the father. Usually the sons take after the father. Actually, usually the sons take after the mother. But anyway, they were afraid of it happening. And so Indra was kidnapping Kayadu while Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities. And then Narada Muni interfered and said, "It's a great devotee in the womb of this lady." And so he took Kayadu into his ashram, and he actually preached to her. And at the same time, Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb, and he was able to hear Krishna Katha. And she was also able to hear Krishna Katha too. And because she didn't want to give birth until her husband came back, she didn't give birth the whole time, although it was a very long time. So another thing that this story illustrates is that offenses to devotees is the most dangerous thing, more dangerous than offending the Supreme Personality of God. Anyway, so then Hiranyakashipu comes back, Prahlad Maharaj is born, there's another three sons. Prahlad Maharaj, of course, is the best son, but because he had received instruction when he was in the womb of his mother from Narada Muni, he was completely disinterested in everything his teachers were trying to teach him. So his teachers were named Sanda and Amartya. And they were trying to teach him about politics. And specifically, some items of politics are interesting. How to deal with your enemies. First way you deal, and I wish devotees would learn this. You know, they just go to the last means, which is like your argumentum on the back of the, you know, you beat your enemies. But the first thing you do is sweet words. You say, oh, Prabhu, you're such a nice devotee. You're serving so nicely. Would you like to clean the kitchen today? That's the first thing you're supposed to do. Not, get out of here, you stupid rascal. That's the last thing. So at least we should study with Sanda and Amartya. So anyway, so even the point. So the first thing is sweet words. And if that doesn't work, you give someone a position. Okay, you can be in charge of cleaning the bathrooms. So no, you give someone a position. Not quite that bad. And then if that didn't work, then you use something called Veda. Veda means what? Divide and conquer. You tell one person, hey, guess what so-and-so said about you? And then you tell the other person, guess what so-and-so said? And they are two friends, and they start, and they kill each other. And you say, I don't have to fight them anymore because they killed each other. So this is called Veda. And the next thing is threatening someone. If you don't behave yourself, you're not getting more rotus. And the last one is the stick. It's called Shastra. As a proverb would sometimes say, if you don't follow Shastra, you get the Shastra, or the stick. So Prahlad Maharaj didn't like this very much. Why? Because he did not want to think of anyone in terms of an enemy. He loved everybody. We mentioned this many times before in class. Yasti sarvani bhutani atmana ivanu pashati. This is the vision of a pure devotee. No enemies in jata shatrava, because you see everyone as your brother and sister. All you do is you see people are struggling. That's all. Someone attacks you, that's his problem. I mean, because you don't stand around and be attacked. But you understand that person is suffering. Someone yells at me, I think, why is he suffering so much? Why should I suffer and become angry? Because there's two of us suffering. Isn't it? Think about it. So he's suffering, so I should try to help him. That is how Prahlad Maharaj thought. That's how Haryas Thakur thought when the people were beating him. That's what Jesus Christ thought when he was put on the cross. That's what devotees think. They don't have enemies. They don't curse people. Many times in the Vedic literatures you hear about people cursing each other. But pure devotees don't curse. They don't. Because they're concerned for the welfare of others. So anyway, Prahlad Maharaj didn't want to hear about friends and enemies, pure devotee. So we should understand that's what it means to be a pure devotee. Or to be an aspiring devotee. If you're thinking of someone inimically, you have spiritual trouble. If there's someone every time you look at, you feel, ugh. Isn't it? the one in trouble, not them. It's your spiritual responsibility to change it. So, anyway, so he was sent to the school, comes back from the school. His father's very affectionate to him. His father's described in the Bhagavatam as even had tears in his eyes. He put his little son on his lap. Those are my dear son, Pallaj. What are you learning in school? You know, sometimes they ask people, what are you learning in school? And students reply. He said, my dear father, Matiyamita Krishna Padatavas with So those who are too much attached to this material world cannot fix their mind on Krishna. And they're engaged in chewing the already chewed. And then he advised his father, just renounce everything. You know, here's this big demon in charge of the universe. Dad, it's time to retire. And devote yourself to your enemy, Krishna. And so his father naturally gets a little angry. And he calls his the teacher, son of the Marcus, what are you doing? You're polluting his mind. Imagine. Nowadays, of course, in school, they pollute the mind in a different way, right? Not only the teachers, but the other students, they pollute the mind. So he sends him back to the Gurukul because they're saying, we'll take care of him, don't worry. So he goes back to school again, and his teachers chastise them, and they try to find out who has taught him about Krishna consciousness, but he doesn't reveal it's Narayana. He just says that my mind is naturally attracted to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like iron filings are attracted to a magnet. This is spontaneous devotional service. Like I mentioned before, our minds are not attracted. Our minds are attracted to sense gratification, like iron filings are attracted to a magnet. And pure devotee's mind, it's described by Vishwanatha Chakravarti that if a great devotee tries to think about Maya, he can't. His mind keeps going back to Krishna. And if we try to think about Krishna, we can't, because our mind keeps going back to Maya. That's our natural propensity. So, goes back to school, and then what happens is that he starts teaching his schoolmates during what Prabhupada called the tiffin hour. I don't know if you know what a tiffin hour is. That means lunch hour. He carries his lunch pail. That's in India. They have these tiffins. You have that here too? So during the tiffin hour, the teachers go and take their bhoga. And Pallad Maharaj talks to the other students. And of course, the famous discussion is going on, where the students say, we're very young, Pallad Maharaj. You know, later on we can take up spiritual life. And then he says, Komaramacharet Pragyo Dharmam Bhagavatam Miha Durlabhama Manasadrogam Tadatruvam Arthadam. You should take up Krishna consciousness from your very beginning of your life, because you always have an excuse not to be Krishna conscious. Because you sleep half the time, you're going to be a youth for 10 or 20 years, then you get married and you've got to get a job or whatever you're going to do. And that's another 30 or 40 years. And then you're retired and you don't have any more energy. Just like we hear sometimes people say, when I get old, I'm going to do full-time service for Krishna. One time there was someone who wanted to join the movement. His family brought, he was an old man, they brought him to the movement. And they said, we want our father to join your movement. And he's left everything to us, left all the money. And Prabhupada said, this is a very bad deal. We get an old man, and you get the money. Prabhupada didn't accept it. you know, they just wanted us to be the old age care home for this gentleman. I'm sure he was a devotee too. So Prahlad Maharaj instructs his schoolmates, gets them chanting, teaches them about the processes of devotional service. Finally, the teachers come in, take him back to his father, and his father, he starts preaching to his father again. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, the nine processes of devotional service. And his father can't handle it like that. His father says, all right, kill him, chop him up, let him be eaten by rakshasas, put him under the feet of elephants, snakes, give him in a pit of snakes, throw him from a hill, poison him, he has the mother poison him, subject him to wind, fire, crush him, starve him, freeze him, stone him to death. You know, so Prahlad Maharaj is subject to all these different difficulties, as we know. He's just chanting the Lord's holy names depending on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And ultimately, he's all right. Even there's that story of Mulligan, that Hiranyakashipu's sister, she's invulnerable. She has a benediction from the fire god that she cannot be burnt. And so Hiranyakashipu thinks, here's a foolproof way to kill this god. So he has him sit on his sister's lap. And there's a fire. All right, big fire happens at that particular point. And everyone's, Hiranyakashipu is saying, Jai, now he's gonna die. And when he finds out, his sister even cremated. So she's just a pile of ashes. And Prahlad Maharaj is just, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, finishing his rounds for the day. So the father becomes even more frustrated at this point. He says, I can't kill him. Son and Mark say, all right, we think we can handle this at this point. So he goes back to school. And the same thing happens with the children. They bring him back to the father. Father gets completely upset. He says, where do you get your power? And he says, Dad, the same place you get your power, from God. And the story goes that he says, where is your God? And the reply is, Sarvatra. He's everywhere. And the famous story, of course, that you all know, is he in this pillar? And Prahlad Maharaj actually sees Lord Nrsimhadev sort of speaking. And he said, yeah, he's in the pillar. And with his fist, some of the biographies, not biographies, some of the stories describe with a sword, but anyway, with his fist, he strikes this pillar, and the Lord comes out, half man, half lion, and he starts to play with Hiranyakashipu. Like a cat. So that's another reason why he appears as Lord Nrsimhadev, half man, half lion, because if any of you have ever seen a cat with its master, most of you have never had pets, right? Anyone here ever had a pet cat? No. You're also innocent. I have a pet cat. So the pet cat, not pet cat, many pet cats, we always have pets on the show. The cat would always take the rat. And he'd let him go. He'd capture him. Let him go. Capture him. Let him go. Like we say to children sometimes, don't play with your food. So he's playing with the rat. And it's just, it's torture to see this poor rat has an anxiety. But the cat, he doesn't kill him immediately. He just has fun. And then if the cat really loves you, it brings the rat to you. As a present. I've had so many presents of dead rats when I was young. So anyway, so that's one reason why he appears half man, half lion, in addition to the not man, not beast, etc. like that, is because he wants to play with the demon. And the cat is naturally playing back and forth with the demon. So eventually, he takes her and he does go into the doorway, which is not outside or inside, it's the dusk, which is when Lord Krishna made the pyramid. Today is about 5:45 in the afternoon. That's when you can break the fast. And so, that's a relief, isn't it? Some place where I come from is like 9 o'clock at night when the sun goes down. So, that's why I came here. So then he bifurcates with his nails, which are not a weapon. And the nails are not dead, and they're not alive. Because he said, I don't want to be killed by anything that's dead or anything that's alive. So nails, are they alive or are they dead? In one sense, they're dead, but they're still growing, right? So how can something dead grow? But it's not alive. There's no pain there. I mean, you cut your nail, you don't scream in agony when you cut your nail. So he kills him with his nails, rips out, there's an intestectomy, rips out the intestines, put the intestines around his neck. This is called gasping. This is an indirect rouse. So the Lord enjoys ghastliness sometimes. Ghastliness means blood and guts. Like you have, we told the story the other day of Parashuram. Rivers of blood. 21 generations of Kshatriyas. Lakes of blood. Ooh, a chopper. Can you imagine chopping everyone's head off with an axe? So Krishna enjoys ghastliness sometimes. I mean, just like some of you may watch a horror movie when you were young or something like that. But I don't know if you have that here. Dracula, vampires. You have that? And you're civilized. So Krishna enjoys the same things that, because whatever propensity we have is ultimately there in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why we have it. Like, you're romantic, and Krishna's unlimitedly romantic. Back online. So Krishna loves these things. He loves like anything to fight. And he loves to fight with his devotees. So Krishna is enjoying himself. Not only that way, he kills thousands of the Ranyakashipu's followers. And his airplanes are being thrown into outer space. You know, when Krishna fights, it's pretty ferocious. He basically is so angry, first of all, because his devotee is being offended. This is another interesting lesson. Krishna's devotee is offended, and Krishna gets angry at you. And you lose the taste for hearing the chanting, your whole life is finished when you offend devotees. You lose your family, you lose your riches, you lose everything in your devotion. And the demigods are afraid. And there's Lakshmi and Lord Shiva, and they can't figure out what to do. Finally, they come to the conclusion that Lord Shivanath is angry because his devotee has been offended. So Prahlad Maharaj goes forward. Prahlad Maharaj goes forward, and Lord Shivanath puts him on his lap and starts to lick him like a cat who's a carrier. Yes, those of you who haven't had cats, please get one. So Lord Shivanath starts to lick Prahlad because he's a master. Like that. In a very affectionate way. And he becomes peaceful. And now you have the famous prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. But Prahlad Maharaj is not afraid of Lord Nrsimhadeva, but he's afraid of Maya. Afraid of Krishna's illusory potency. And he expresses, first of all, in his prayers, he expresses his gratitude towards his guru. He doesn't think, oh, now I have God, I don't need guru anymore. He says, it's all due to the mercy of the guru, and I simply want to serve Narada Muni. Remember, this is Narada Muni telling the story to Yudhisthira Maharaj. Remember, going back to the beginning, telling the story of his disciple. So normally, gurus tell the stories of their disciples. No, they do, because they're proud of their disciples, good disciples. They're proud of them. It's like someone's proud of their child. Just like yesterday, we had someone who graduated, became a member of the bar. And the parents were there. They were smiling like anything. Oh, our daughter. Right? So it's natural, the spiritual master, so Narada Muni, being the guru, is really prideful of his disciples. Look at my disciples. You know, that's nice. So that we should be like that in relationship with the guru. Not embarrassing. One time, one devotee did something, and I'm not saying what he did, but Prabhupada said to him, you have embarrassed me in front of Krishna. You have shamed me in front of Krishna. So we should think like that. That we can bring Krishna's pleasure to for the guru if we do something nicely. In other words, Krishna is always pleased with Prabhupada, but Prabhupada will be proud and Krishna will be more pleased if we can do something nice with all of them. So then after that, Prahlad Maharaj defines his relationship with Lord Nrsimhadeva simply as his servant. And Lord Nrsimhadeva says, what do you want? Anything you want. This would be tempting, wouldn't it? Anything you want. Let me think about it. But he says, Prahlad Maharaj says, I'm not Vaidya. I'm not a merchant. But if you want to give me something, get rid of my material desires. Here he has no material desires. But he's thinking he has, this is the humility, Charnatapisanchaya. He says, please free me from this illusion. And the Shingadev says, okay, you're pure devotee, and I'm ordering you to enjoy opulence in this material world. So for those who are pure devotees, Krishna doesn't take everything away. Like he says, Yashaham Nanavrinami, Hushay, Tadanavishana. For those who I favor, I take everything away. But for those who are pure, Krishna doesn't take everything away. He gives them everything. Prabhupada's father said to Prabhupada, Krishna has 10 hands and 10 arms. And with those 10 hands and 10 arms, you're not going to be able to stop Krishna from giving you things. If you're qualified. If you could take over the world, Krishna will give you the world. But we can't even take over our own minds. With the speaker, you know, we say, when is the Krishna conscious movement going to take over the world? Well, when are you going to take over your mind, rascal? That's even a better question. So, anyway, so Prahlad Maharaj becomes the king of the demons, and he prays that his father will be forgiven. And Lord Nrsimhadeva says, 21 forefathers will be liberated. Past birth fathers and mothers, just don't worry about it. and 21 generations in the future. And so, this is the story of Lord Narasimhadev and the first Lord Chaitanya. Worship Lord Narasimhadev in the church of South India. He went to the Narasimha temples. And so there's a story, one story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in the mood of Lord Narasimhadev, he actually terrorized all the residents of Navadvipa. He started chanting Narasimha mantras and got in the mood of Lord Narasimhadev, and he went around, and everybody was scared, locked the doors of their houses, ran away, because Lord Chaitanya was in the mood. So we should not be in the word of the mood of Lord Vishnu, we should be in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Okay, I think it's time to read the duties. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace of Prabhupada, the Shiva Bhagavan Ki Jai, Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai.
Jai, Shri Shri Gaurinathai Ki Jai. Hari Purusha Bhajami Govinda Hari Purusha Bhajami Venam Kanam Tam Haravinda Dalai Chakram Vahavatam Sitam Rasulaya Kanda Bhakti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobha Jaragloki Hare Lalita Vishaka. Angani Asha Shavalan Jaya Jaya Manchi Shanti 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 Shiram Jatanti Angana Sumaya Sado Jala Vigrahasya Govindam Sidram Lakshmanaman. Thank you.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Friends, say from the street Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. Nityananda Sudeva Dada. Shiva Sri Gaurava Dada ki jai. Sisi Rama Krishna Gopinath Shyama Kunda. Radha Kunda Giriyo Vridan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagadavasami Kijai Yamanamai Kijai Shimani Lassi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai